Throughout the time from about 1997 until I first saw a budget this year, it was reported that the station levy was 17%. That's what we were told. And it's now come to light that the station levy is 20% of listener support and 30% of the CPB grants. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So that's certainly not 17%. It's a different number. It may be the necessary number to sustain our national operations at this point, but I've been to every single board meeting of the Board of Directors of the Pacifica Foundation since 1999, and the board has never approved a change in the levy. And so, and that's a policy matter that I think the board has to approve in order for it to be implemented throughout the network. I think, you know, certainly the case can be made that that's what we need to do. But if that's what we need to do, I would like the board to exercise its financial function of approving this structure for funding national operations at some point before we actually do it.
You are listening to a live broadcast of the interim Pacifica National Board meeting being held at Wheeler Auditorium at the University of California at Berkeley. It's being broadcast on KPFA and KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno, WBAI in New York City, KPFK in Los Angeles, as well as on the web at WBAX.org, KPFX.org, and Radio for Houston, as well as the Independent Media Center in Washington, D.C.
And actually, yeah, use the mic so it gets broadcast also.
I'm Eileen Carr, the bookkeeper for KPFA. For fiscal year 2001, we were instructed by the controller to budget 17% of total income, not listener support, and 30% of the CPB grant. And that was my understanding that was the historical, at least for a couple of years, basis.
Who was the controller at the time?
Sandra Rosas.
17% of total income, including your CPB grant?
No,
excluding. So now it's 20% of listener support, not total income. So is that higher or lower?
I know, I can't. Sorry.
Okay, I'll figure it out.
Okay. Can we go back to, I'm not sure if Jasmine wants to say anything or just turn it right over to Ross.
I think given our time here, let's turn it over to Ross.
Okay. Okay, so, and this is Ross Wisdom, who's the accountant that actually worked on, prepared the February, I forget, 9th, I think it was, report that I think many of you have seen, the initial look at our finances, and he's been working on the audit now for the 2001 fiscal year.
Hi, again, Ross Wisdom. I've been asked to give a brief auditor's report. I will be as brief as I know how, and I would like to comment on the status of the recommendations made in February, and then the status of the audit, and also perhaps answer as many factual questions as I can, apprising where the foundation is now and how it might choose to move forward financially. First, the recommendations made back in February, there were essentially four recommendations. The first, stop the financial hemorrhaging. The foundation has really done an excellent job there, as already mentioned. The working capital deficit of almost $5 million has been reduced now to approximately $1.5 million. However, in the same breath, you really must state that that last $1.5 million is a very tough nut. It's not there. And there needs to be a financial plan to address that, and I don't believe there is one currently. That financial plan would either be to fundraise $1.5 million or to refinance it, private lending, what have you, to try to spread that out over a period of time with an interest rate attached to it, of course. On the air here, if there were private lenders willing, interested in making 10% on their money, this is a brief commercial for that.
Free.
Number two, recruit a chief financial officer I'm going to come back to this at the end. I do think that's critical. I'm going to also speak to the difference between a board treasurer, which you have, which is fine, but many organizations have both a board treasurer and then also a head of their financial department who's a staff position, whether it's volunteer or paid, not a board position, though. And that person would be dealing with a lot of these questions and issues that you have today, that it's really unfair to impose that on an accounting department in a financial crisis that can barely keep its head above water, just managing the day-to-day affairs. I will come back to that in a moment. The third recommendation, balancing the budget. The calendar year budget has a projected operating surplus. You'll see in the reports from the consolidated budget, and Yasmin can go into the details on that. But it does show an operating surplus of roughly $300,000. It shows still a cash flow shortfall for the year of about $1 million, but that's including that outstanding debt that needs to be paid, which may not and perhaps should not get fully paid in this 1 year. But that's where it stands. So balancing the budget has basically been achieved, but again with the caveat that even though on paper the budget will appear balanced for this year, just in terms of operating, in other words, current revenues, current expenses, for the whole year, you're okay. But I need to make two comments here. This is going to allude back to, at the end, I want to get back to sort of a CFO kind of report. The two issues here are, first of all, even though the fundraising drives have been successful, expenses have been controlled pretty well, some of that revenue, the stations have caught up on their back bills at the station level. They used to be maybe 90 days behind or 120 days behind. I think they're all now 30 days. They're right up to date with the rent, the phone. Of course, the payroll is paid each payroll period. So some of that revenue has been really used for expenses that were incurred in the prior year, which is going to give you more of a cash flow problem this year. Number two, there's approximately $1.5 million across the board in all bank accounts now. I don't believe there's really any significant fundraising going to occur until October. Again, Yasmin can comment on this more. You've got a dry spell between now and October, and without additional fundraising, you would run out of funds in August. So that would have to be addressed. So even though the budget appears balanced, it doesn't mean that all is well. The fourth recommendation was establishing a sound system of administrative and financial controls. What that means is that each month the books are closed, they're reconciled, you get a report, and you can compare budget versus actual. And when someone has a question, how do you pay the overhead and what station is paying what, those questions are easily answered. It's impossible to do that right now. The books are not up to date, although they've made a gargantuan effort from where they started. And I think that'll just lead me right into the status of the audit. The audit has been delayed. I would guess right now that this audit will be completed in approximately 4 weeks. Now, I have been saying that now for about 2 months. The previous auditors received a trial balance that was up to date and reconciled on February 6th, 2001. Their final issued audit report, including their audit reports to CBB, were dated April 18th, although I think they issued a draft towards the end of March. I have not received a trial balance that's reconciled and up to date. We've gotten very close, and I don't know if you reached Brian today, but he's working on it as we speak, and probably Monday or Tuesday is when I will have that, and then about 4 weeks from that date going forward. I have been asked to go, rather than sort of gloss over this, to go over some of the problems and some of the blow-by-blow details, what these delays involved? What was the condition that was sort of inherited by this current staff? And if I have a few minutes, I'll do that.
Yes.
Okay. A complaint from the prior auditor was that the CFO at that time, Sandra Rosas, was terminated right before they began their audit. From that point forward, there has been such, as you know, so much instability, so much problems, so many problems. The accounting office was moved. There was an outside firm brought in. There was no real accounting staff inside. It was all outside. The outside professionals did not perform a good service for the foundation. There were mispostings. They were 3 months behind schedule. In September of 2001, they were closing the books for June 2001. And then in August is when the new staff came on board. You lost that institutional memory. And I really want to underscore a lot of what Jabari has said. It's a fragile situation, even though it sounds kind of good that you've made so much progress. Accounting department is very fragile. And for this organization to operate well, you can easily disrupt the small apple cart you have right now with moving the accounting department or even switching to Linux, which would be a bad idea anytime soon. And the next, really, I agree with you, about 2 years it's going to take. Maybe you'll beat that schedule, but you need this month-to-month stability. That's going to be a foundation, and from that, I think life will be much easier for everybody. So I really want to underscore what Jabari said about that. To go back to this litany of the history, in October is when the Great Plains software was installed. At the same time, these outside consultants made a mistake. Because of Great Plains, they put it on a new operating system, Cirrus.
That's the network service.
Yeah. Yeah. They also moved Solomon over to that system, which it doesn't run on that system. So that messed up Solomon, and there was some bugs, and it's crashed, and there was no training, and data was lost. They moved it back over to Solomon, back over to the old platform, which was NT, but now it only runs on one computer. And remember, everything was taken away from the stations, so you've got a $10 million a year organization, six different departments with standalone general ledgers. This is really six audits in one, six separate sets of books. $10 million for the transactions being paid through one person on one computer. That doesn't add up. Then the NIMDA virus struck in December, and things were not functioning and back up again really sometime middle of January. That's about the time I came in and started doing the report, and you were so far underwater financially. All the accounting staff really could be focusing on at that time was paying the bills, dealing with creditors, trying to get together some estimated numbers for people to work with and start having these budget conversations.
Very well.
Right, and there was no controller from what period? From the middle of October until middle of January. All right, so that's the blow-by-blow. This accounting department has managed to bring the books fairly up to date. They've been getting trained on the new accounting system. Things are falling into place pretty quickly now in terms of the nitty-gritty that needs to be done in the accounting department. I am pleased with that. We do have, I'd say, 95 to 96% of the schedules that we need to do our audit. We didn't have any cooperation from the former auditors until about 2 weeks ago, and finally they miraculously found the files that they couldn't find before, and now we have what we needed from them. So we're ready to roll, and I think we will have this in about 4 weeks, and then, of course, you'll have the CPB funding as soon as this report is completed, hopefully 4 to 5 weeks from now, and they have been willing to extend their deadline. I want to go back to the CFO. I think that's the key ingredient missing in the mix here. This is not taking anything away from Jabari. This is a position that should work well with a board treasurer. They could work together on doing the recommendations you were making in terms of banking. There should be more efficiency there. There should be electronic banking. It would make life a lot easier. ADP can disperse this payroll from five different locations, no problem. That would lighten up the load on the national office. This CFO would be the one dealing with a lot of these nitty-gritty issues, central services, percentages, budgeting, budget versus actuals, following up with station managers or business managers on those budget variations, et cetera, or the national office budget variations, explaining that to each member of the board. Everyone should be informed. But it's unfair to ask that of a controller that so has to keep their attention on the day-to-day affairs. Okay, and then also assist with the establishing the procedures at the station level need to go back to the station level now. There's no formal procedures there right now. All right. I've pretty much touched on everything that I've had to touch on. There is about $3 million of debt. We talk in terms of $1.5 million. I just want to be clear about this. There's really $3 million worth of debt. $1.5 million is an ordinary 30 to 60-day trade debt, your rent, your telephone, et cetera. The other $1.5 million is really closer to $1.6 is the debt to the professional services. It goes back to roughly September or October of last year, which is being negotiated down now, and we don't know on what terms that debt will ultimately be paid. So with that, I'll open it back to questions.
Leslie?
Before we get into this, I just want to suggest that I've heard eight things now that need our attention today, or at least need to figure out how we're going to get our attention to it. Not in order of importance is the move of the finance office, the question about that, the debt retirement, in general, how long we think it's going to take to stabilize the whole finances, that whole question about stabilizing stuff, the budget process for the next fiscal year, how we get that up and running, the review of this budget that's in our books now for this fiscal year, the CFO issue, and then two other issues, which I don't know if we need to get to today, are the premiums, questions about premiums and any guidelines or suggestions we're going to make about that, and the whole levy issue, the 20% levy issue. So I don't believe that we can discuss all that this weekend. But I also don't know that all that is pressing. Like premium stuff, I don't know that we have to deal with today. We do need to deal with this fiscal year's budget. However we deal with it, we need to address that and think about that. So I want to just take whatever questions people have of Ross. And then, but I just wanted to remind people that these are some items that we really do need to get to today. So I see Carol, James, Janice, and then Marion, and then Ray. Carol.
I have two questions. I'll put them both out there. One, you said we will be out of money in August. I'm understanding what you mean by that is that our current operating expenses, the money that we generally raise, sufficient to get us through until the fall fund drive, we've actually used those to pay old outstanding bills at the station level for operating expenses. That's one. I'm going to give you the second one, and then the second question I have is you emphasize that a CFO is key. Would it be possible to have a CFO who was not in Washington who could assist us over the internet and through telephone? Do we need somebody who is actually physically present in the office?
No, I do not believe you need someone who's physically present in the office. They need to be available. They need to have a computer. They need to understand a debit and a credit. They need to have a pretty good background in accounting and finance.
Yeah.
They need to assist with budgeting. They would need to spend some time at the national office to get hands-on, and they would have I would see it as a fairly light supervisory capacity, but certainly looking over the shoulder and also supporting and assisting with accounting functions. But the primary focus would be on the stations, the board, and financial strategy and banking and finance.
Thank you. And the first question
was, we're running out of money in August. Can you just clarify for us what that really means?
It means that you have $1.4 million in the bank. Your operating budget is $900,000 globally across the board per month. You do some simple division. That's going to run out in August. And the next money is really coming in October, except for the CPB, which would be about $375,000. There's about $75,000 that can be moved out of Harrington, which is unrestricted funds. There's possibility of using margin borrowing against your investment accounts. That could raise $300,000 to $400,000. And, excuse me?
KPFT is about to go into a pledge drive.
KPFT is about to help us out. That's good news.
Yeah. Okay, so we're expecting $1.5 million out of Houston. Okay.
Go, Houston.
Well, there are going to be a lot beyond what you need locally. Okay, James is next. James, do you want to get your mic? Please, thank you.
Rob mentioned the issue, what I will call a budget vision that would include some type of a strategy for the national office to be able to generate some funds. And I didn't know if you made that one of the eight.
I didn't. You're right. Actually, I realized that also fundraising is another issue, how income is generated.
Yeah, so I just thought.
Very good. Thank you.
Just a couple of quick questions. How does the subcarrier money come in? Or how do we get that?
Sorry. How does the subcarrier money get in?
Sure. Basically, we have a contract on lawyer John Kriegler. You know, we go out and we try to find potential, I guess, vendors to rent these subcarriers. And then each month they send us a check. It goes directly to the national office. And the national office recognized that revenue.
Is that part of the money that Ross is saying? Is that included in what you were saying we don't have enough of?
Yeah. Yeah.
How much of that?
We have all kinds of
well, we get monthly 30,000. On a monthly basis, we get around 35,000. Sounds right, Dan?
I gave you the figure of the report.
Yeah. So around 35,000. I know we're still waiting on two contracts that are pending. So hopefully if we get those two contracts, then that will increase to 44,000 per month.
Yasmin, you talked. No, it might have been Ross who said that there was, after Sandra Rosas was let go, that there was an accounting firm brought in from the outside, and they weren't really doing anything. Is that part of the group of people that we negotiated payments for? Did we pay them, or what happened?
The one thing they were very good at is getting paid on a weekly or biweekly basis. They were paid. There's about 15,000 to 30,000 15,000 outstanding, which is not going to be paid.
Yeah, we don't even look at that.
And this is just an aside. I might be wrong about this, but I remember, and Valerie maybe can correct me. Back in as recently as 1996, it was like 14% that the stations gave national. Is that right, Valerie?
Sorry, you want to jump up to a mic so everyone can hear? Thank you. Just a question about...
Thank you so much for asking that, Janice. At one point it was 9%, then it went up to 12%, then the general managers we met and we devised a formula so it came to about 12 or 13% for the entire levy, but it was a full, open, and transparent discussion whereby this is what we could afford. And so the national office had to be scaled, you know, to that figure. And it worked for a while. Then it went up to 17, and goodness knows how it got to 20%, and nobody else does either because it was not an board-approved resolution, which it would have to be. When we came back to the stations in 2000 here, we were told that all of a sudden it was 20%. That was deep and profound and sad news for everybody concerned.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you attach some dates to those figures?
if possible?
I can go back and do some research and get you the dates, because we can look at past budgets and see exactly what the percentage was and figure it out from there.
Thanks.
Okay, so Marion was next, and then wait.
Several questions. I don't know who can answer this, but the board did pass a resolution establishing the office of CFO and recruiting for that. What has been done since that time and now to recruit, either voluntarily or for pay or for part-time, a CFO? Who knows the answer to that?
Well, I have some answer. I think Rob might have some answer. I don't know if other people did, too. It was my understanding that the resolution we had passed is that we were looking for somebody to do that on a volunteer basis. So I have been looking around, and I haven't found a volunteer. It is true I've not been spending 20 hours a day looking for this volunteer, but I did make some calls and look around. If we're deciding that this is going to be a paid position, you know, that might dramatically change our ability to find somebody. I know Rob also did some looking into this.
We worked with the something called the Greater Washington Society of CPAs, and they announced our interest in identifying retired or volunteer positions for a CFO through a website that they have. Although the wording of this specifically indicated that we were looking for retired, volunteered people in either Washington or California, or Berkeley, Berkeley rather than California, in the Bay Area, we got literal, in spite of the language, we got literally hundreds of applications, most of which came from outside the continental United States. And the process of sorting through the... I haven't finished sorting through the responses yet. I mean, it was... They meant well, but it was kind of like no good deed goes unpunished. As a matter of fact, we got so many applications from CPAs in India that it's unbelievable to me.
Okay.
But,
board, this particular question, is there an answer? No, okay. Marion, you want to wrap
up? Well, it seems to me that since this position is so critical, we ought to vote to hire somebody to do this job and not depend on volunteerism, because it's going to take a long time. We may not get what we want. Ross has indicated, everybody's indicated, that this position is very, very important. And it's unlike the core of our financial management package. And so at the proper time, I'd like to move that we hire somebody to do that. And secondly, Ross, in terms of the $1.5 million?
Yes.
Ross? $1.5
million? Yes.
Let me ask this question. Are there sufficient monies in the station accounts, or the cash in the bank, that they can meet their payroll? Up and, you know, it's funneled to the national office, but it's paid for by them. Can they meet their payroll until October?
I'm sorry, can they meet their payroll? And what was the end of the question?
can they
meet their payroll until about the middle of August. Until about the middle of August.
The station have enough money until the middle of August, that's all.
Well, the station or the organization, however you want to view it.
No, there's a difference. If there's $1.5 million across the foundation, I assume the great majority of it is in the station accounts, right?
Practically zero is in the national office.
Right. And so
actually, it's a negative $22,000 right now.
So the answer is that this $1.5 million, most of which is in the station accounts.
It's all at the station
accounts. All in station accounts is only enough to pay payroll for the station people and the national people.
It all has to be transferred to the national office for payroll, because all the payroll is paid from the national office. So
I understand that.
When it gets close to payroll day, the phone calls are made.
I got it. Okay. So we have a problem in August, October then, right?
Right. That's the alarm that's been sounded.
And if I may say something, let's not just concentrate on payroll, okay? Yeah. We also have the utilities. We have the rent. We have the telephone, you know, so we have other necessity to run the station on a monthly basis.
Okay, let's move on.
There's $1.5 million. Is any portion of that contemplated going to pay off our past debt?
No, I don't believe any of that money is earmarked for that. We do need to get a little update on the fundraising.
Let me ask Yasmin.
Maybe it'll be important to get that here.
Can I ask the Yasmin the same question?
I'm sorry?
Is any of the $1.5 million plan to be used for paying off any of the $1.6 million previous
Not time? For future, no.
Okay. Well, group seems we have to have a strategy of some kind. To,
okay,
since we know this.
Silverberg, we have just...
Well, folks, wait a second. If we can't interrupt the meeting, you know.
Well, board members, I think we need to develop a strategy.
Yes.
Of getting this money.
I was suggesting that part of the strategy to help us would be to know what the fundraising, what fundraising activities are either already in motion or planned, so then we can supplement it or change it or whatever.
We may need to borrow some money.
And that's one possibility.
Or sell some property.
Right. Can we move on, though? We have Ray and David and George on my list here. Ray?
Yeah. Russ just seemed to support Jabari's statement that moving the financial office would be destabilizing. Can you please elaborate so we understand better what you mean by that?
I'll be glad to. This is an accounting department that has learned two systems now, Solomon and Great Plains. And there are a lot of complicated entries on the books. When funds are transferred from one station to the national office, for example, there's two sets of entries on the station's books, which is a separate set of books, also on the national office's books, which is a separate set of books. And there's a number of it. I mean, that's what Brian is working on today to try to finish so that we can move forward with the audit, is to straighten out all of these intercompany transactions. Now they finally have it straightened out and they understand it and they know how to operate this set of books. When you move the office, you will lose this staff because they're not going to be moving to Berkeley from Washington, as far as I understand. And then you'll have a new staff, and you'll just be starting over again. You'll probably get take 3 to 6 months, and that's if the new staff inherits an up-to-date and functioning system. Right now, they would not inherit that. So I'm saying let's wait until this. You as a board will recognize when this happens because. Each month you will get a report, and you'll understand perfectly clear as day where you are financially. Until you get to that point, don't move the office. Just for the finances, I'm saying. Just for the finances.
Ross, how long are you projecting before it's going to take to get these monthly reports?
Well, as soon as we finish this audit, you're right into the next audit.
Right.
And you're talking about budgeting issues, and you're talking about borrowing money. You're talking about working out the central services. You've got to go back and analyze all those accounts and bring those balances forward. You've got a lot of issues to work out, and that's going to slow things down. You don't have a CFO right now. I think about a year to 2 years, which is what Jabari is saying, is about right.
Before we get the monthly reports?
Before you get monthly reports and a totally up-to-date, streamlined, functioning accounting department the way it should be.
Okay. I have David and George, and then I'd like to call on myself.
Well, I'd just like to ask a simple question. It sort of is in a lessons learned context. What is it that we're doing right that you would like to point out that we should continue to do in order to maintain whatever stability we're holding on to here?
What you've done right is control your expenses. You've got a very supportive listener base that has really helped you throughout this period. You've got a very diverse organization, diverse board, and I think you've come a long way. Part of what the accounting department needs, too, is a sort of a context of stability, and I think you've been doing your best to provide that, so that helps a great deal. You've hired now a very good outside professionals for the accounting training, for the Great Plains training, and your staff is responding very well to that. There's a lot of intelligence at the station level. The business managers there are very good. They're stepping in. They're bringing their systems up to date. I don't think it'll be long before the stations have autonomy with their finances and with their systems and procedures, and that could be in place much sooner than this 1 to 2 years at the station level. You still have to bring it all together and have it all up to date. But those are the things that are there's been, I mean, in 5 months there's been a tremendous amount of progress. You couldn't have been any worse, I don't believe, financially and accounting-wise, back in December and January. So you've made a great deal of progress.
Okay, George.
Thank you. It's George Barnstone. Thank you for your excellent work and report. You've already answered these questions. Given this information, I'm trying to put it now on my recording again. We owe $1.6 million in non-recurring expenses. We owe $1.5 million in operational expenses.
Debt.
Yeah. We have $1.5 million in the station accounts.
Right.
We right now we make about $35,000 off the sub carrier fees, which will go to $44,000 once all the accounts are.
Can you speak louder, please?
Yes, I'm sorry. We get $35,000 now for the subcarrier fees per month.
Right.
And we'll soon get $44,000 once we're maximized. How much do we pay in salary in budget for the whole network biweekly?
Payroll?
Yes.
It was about $250,000.
About
$250,000.
Yes, slightly. That's including some benefits and things and payroll taxes. Yes, about $250,000 every twice per month.
And what are the and those are the only expenses which go through the national office? What about paying for telephones, paying for utilities?
Well, at the station level, those are paid at the station level. At the national office, they're paid at the national office, correct?
And you said we're going to run out of money in mid-August?
Correct, overlooking KPFD.
The income from their
fundraising. Yeah, from their fundraising.
One question? You really shouldn't underestimate us. You shouldn't underestimate the Texans.
Texas. Don't mess with Texas. I know. Yeah. I'm from Texas. Thank you.
Okay, I just want to call myself for a minute here. I must say I'm a little confused by some of this. But let me preface what I want to say by saying that I'm not of the mind that believes that we, certainly not in an ideological sense, that we can never carry a debt. I don't believe in balanced budgets as sort of the guideline for everything. I'm not so worried about carrying some debt. I don't think that's the end of us. So, having said that, I, of course, would like to reduce the debt, you know, as much as possible. But given the progress that has been made and the tremendous jump in the reduction of the debt, I each day I'm less and less worried about that. So I'm not sure that I agree with the perspective that Jabari put out in the Treasury's report about the urgency to retire the debt. I'm only concerned about it if they start threatening us with lawsuits and things like that, but if we can string that out, you know, we can stretch that out and live with it, that's okay. That's my personal, you know, feeling about that. But the part that I'm confused about here is that on the one hand, we have heard from the folks right, you know, on the front line of the finance that in a few months, tremendous steps have been taken. Forget the debt part of it right now. Just in getting what sounded like just a big mess, a total mess, in a few months, tremendous steps have been taken of getting things in order. You're saying that the stations are nearly in control, that the Great Plains system, people have been trained on it, and that's beginning to work. Obviously, there still is a lot more to put into the system and to dig up old records and stuff. But my confusion is how in really 4 or 5 months, such big steps have been taken, and yet the projection is it's going to take another 2 years to stabilize things. I don't understand it. There's a disconnect for me. And having said that, let me just state very clearly, so that there's no confusion here, about my bias or my point of view on this. I believe that the national office is both the what we call the kind of the executive branch and the financial branch, that they're two wings of the same thing, that they really should be in the same location. That the financial decisions are very much political, and should be a reflection of the political decisions we make about how to use our money. And how to budget and how to do all that. So I think these things need to be closed together. So that's why I'm concerned about this notion of separating, because that's what this would lead to. It would lead to moving some part of our national operation, moving that to Berkeley and leaving in Washington the financial part. And I think they should be together. So I'm confused about this very long timeline projected for stabilizing things enough to move them. The other thing is that it would seem to me possible that once we figure out, and I don't think anybody's done any work yet on actually figuring out a concrete timeline for moving the office, but once that gets figured out, you could begin to look in, and I don't mean to be sound cold-hearted to the national staff and folks that are working in Washington now, but you could begin to look to hire people here in Berkeley a month before the move is made and send 2 or 3 of the finance people to Washington to get up to speed and learn this stuff before the actual move is made.
Thank you.
I'd like to respond briefly. In terms of how long it will take, the answer is very simple. It will take as long as it takes. And when you get the monthly accounting up to date across the board, you'll know when you have that. I'm just saying don't move until you have that. If it takes 6 months, terrific. I think it's going to take a lot less time with the CFO involved, but it's going to take as long as it takes. And don't underestimate how much the accounting department still has to go through.
Mm-hmm. Also, I'd like to give a historical perspective. The finance office was moved from L.A., where it had been for practically 20 years, and you had a single treasurer or CFO, controller, excuse me, in Sandra Rosa for virtually that whole time. Yasmin, when the office was moved from L.A. to D.C., Yasmin was this controller under Bessie Wash, and in the year 2000, you came 2001. She came in August and left in October because she didn't want to do some unethical things or things that she thought were not correct. When I became treasurer on December 29th, we had our reconvened board, and I was elected treasurer. I first walked into the office, the national office in Washington, D.C., on Wednesday, January 2nd. There were three people in the finance office. There was no controller. You had three people, and I walked in that office, and it was like it was walking through a thick pea, just atmosphere. They looked at me like, who is he? And here's another one. The first thing I did, besides just sitting down and saying, hi, I'm not going to shoot anybody, was I talked to Joyce Snowden, who was the human resource person, who is this human resource person, who was the human resource person there. Part of the settlement said that we needed to get a controller. That was top priority. And I asked Joyce, who was the previous controller, and she told me about Yasmin. I didn't know Yasmin from a hill of beans. But she told me she had quit because she wouldn't do what a lot of things Bessie had asked her to do. And I said, that's the kind of person that I need to talk to. So Joyce and I set up a meeting where we went to lunch. You know, it was really kind of, you had to been there. But we were saying, come on, can you come back? And she was very, 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 very apprehensive because she had been there. But Joyce really put it into my head that Yasmin knows where all the bodies are. Yasmin knew the software. Yasmin knew.
And what, make sure you clarify that also.
Metaphorically. Yeah. Where the stuff was. And out of all the key decisions that were made since I walked in that office on January 2nd to present, if it wasn't for Yasmin, and I'm not even being exaggerated, I'm not exaggerating, I'm not being hyperbolistic or anything. If it wasn't for Yasmin, we wouldn't be here. We would probably be in we would be on the street. All of your stuff would be out, and it would have been long disposed of during bankruptcy. I'm at that office virtually every day. For up until March, when Joanne Meredith resigned just before the New York meeting, I was the only person with signature authority on all the accounts within the network. I was the only one who could sign checks. I had to be there every day. Because until we got a signature of me, I was the only one who could sign checks. I had to be there to 8, 9 o'clock, and these people were writing checks to pay for any and everything. Lights were being turned off. You had telephones that were being ready to get snapped off at PFW, at KPFK, rent. People were talking about putting stuff off. I mean, you just don't have any conception of how just depressing this situation was. And what Ross is saying is that we are not really that far from getting back to that point. As soon as we pay one set of bills off for a month, we incur another $1.5 million in operating expenses because you have another month worth of rent, Federal Express, lights, all these things. As soon as you pay off one month, you, even if you don't do anything, you got another month's worth of expenses to pay off. And that's $1.5 million. That's about $900,000 a year, a month, excuse me. No payroll. We're not even talking about that. That's $900,000 a month.
That's included payroll.
Including payroll, which is $500,000 a month and rising. So what Ross is trying to tell you is that even though it doesn't seem like you're walking on thin ice, you start messing with this system, and that ice will get real thin real fast.
Okay.
And I just want to give some historical perspective because we haven't had the national office in the same place with the finance office. The finance office was in L.A., the executive directors was in Berkeley. Never were in the same office for over 20 years. So there is no operational imperative to do it. And what I am just trying to promote that it will be catastrophic to move this stuff under these conditions.
Okay, thank you, Jabari.
Teresa
is next.
Thank you, Jabari. I have two questions. Maybe you can't answer them. Maybe it's a matter of negotiation. Number one was brought up yesterday. We had this investigation. What do you call it? Decision strategy. What do you call those people?
Yeah, that's the right name. Decision.
Yes, private eyes.
Private eyes. You know, that build us. And can have we paid these people? And can we only pay them if we get to see the files they have on us? Because I'm sure they have contacts with the DA's office in Houston, and I really would like to see my file.
Okay. Yasmin just told me they've been paid $15,000. Okay. And how much are they owed?
$214,000. Not so much their invoice is. How much they're owed is another matter.
Right. It's in dispute. A lot of invoices are under dispute. A lot of negotiations are going on that are very sensitive. It's not advisable to discuss any individual ones publicly, but the policy of the management is certainly not to pay these creditors unless absolutely.
You're saying we owe how much more?
$214,000.
Right. We're being billed.
That's what they've billed.
That's what they've billed.
That's what we owe.
Right, that's what they've billed us.
But it's in dispute.
But when you say we have how much still in
$1.6 million.
Is that in there?
That's included,
in there?
Yes, right.
That's in there.
That $1.6 million is all disputed creditors, professional services related to last year.
See, because when you talked about that, it made it sound like, you know, that you said it's hard. You know, that
tough amount to deal
tough.
With.
Right. Seems to me, well.
Well, there's no way to pay it currently. Mm-hmm. It has to be either financed or negotiated down or fundraised for. There's nothing existing currently to pay that with.
Mm-hmm. But they have to justify it to us.
Yeah, and
can I just interrupt for a second? Mm-hmm. There's several issues related to these what they call professional services. It's, you know, Epstein Becker Green, Decision Strategies, West Hill Partners, the other law firms, Fulbright and Jaworski, et cetera, et cetera. There's several issues here. One is what work was actually contracted on behalf of the foundation, right? Who actually signed the contract with them to do what? Then did they actually do that work? And what did they bill us for that work? Then we have to make political decisions, right? Is this, you know, even if they did that work, right? What do we want to do about that bill,
mm-hmm.
right? These are all, and also other financial decisions, right? Is it, as Jabari suggests, you know, a better use of our time and energies to pay the bill and then we're done mm-hmm. with them? Or is it better in some cases to not pay the bill and struggle with them and negotiate with them? The other thing to keep in mind is that every single day, probably every hour, every minute of every day, out there in the business world, people negotiate on bills, right? People negotiate. They, you know, Jane Doe says you owe me $100, and John Schmo says I'm only going to pay $50, and you negotiate, right? So, I mean, that kind of stuff happens, you know, all the time, and that's part of what's in the mix here, too, is just a straightforward negotiation.
What just concerned me is your term, was it again? Hard. It would be hard, if I understand it correctly, to get out of that debt. And it seems to me pretty bizarre that we would come up with that $200,000 or anything near it without seeing the product, which is the files on us.
And
I'd like to know who the agents were that got the stuff together, too. You know, we pay their salary, you know, that contract. I'd like to see it. The other one is West Hill. My question is, you know, I was told that some of the things they billed us for were maybe not agency, not standard for their, not standard practice for their profession. And it just seems to me that's not quite hard either. Like when, I don't know, was it $20,000 a month, whether or not they did anything at all, some sort of retainer? Well, how much was it? $25,000 a month, whether or not they did anything at all, to me, I'd be embarrassed if I were them in the profession. It seems to me that's not hard. That's not hard.
I stand corrected. It's not hard.
Carol.
Leslie, in terms of...
Carol is next, and then we need to take stock of where we are. In terms of this conversation. Okay, let's just get Carol in.
I just want to say the Finance Committee did meet with Dan and with our negotiating team of lawyers. And there are negotiations going on. I think no matter what the outcome is, what you're saying is, however much it is, it's hard because we've used up all of our... everything we possibly could out of our current operating budgets, and we have to deal with meeting our operating expenses through the next fund drive. That's another $1.5 million. There's actually $3 million here we're talking about.
Exactly.
That's our
1.8. We have 1.5 in the bank.
We've got whatever we've got in the bank. We're going to run out of money in August and be about 1.5 or 1.8 short to get through October fund drive?
Right. Let me clarify a little bit. It's not simply that we have these professional bills that we can't pay. It's worse than that.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
What you're alluding to is absolutely correct. There's no working capital for a month and a half, which is about $1.5 million. So you add those two numbers up, that's close to $3 million.
Yeah.
There's no... What's been done to date, and there were insurance proceeds, there were accounting adjustments where CPP money that was actually spent because they advanced it back in September is really for this year, so we count it as this year's income, although that money that's being counted as income was spent way back in September. So all of those things helped reduce this so-called deficit, but that part, although it really wasn't easy, is going to be a lot easier than the next part. And the next part is really a $3 million number, not a $1.5 million number. So even if you don't pay the professional firms anything, you're still really short in the short run, about $1.5 million. And in the long run, that should work itself out. But so what I mean by tough nut to crack is the organization is really short around $3 million, including what should be a normal operating reserve, which it hasn't had for a long time.
Right. So our since we've actually turned over negotiations to professionals to kind of work on that with some board authorization to do that, our real problem now is to talk about our cash flow problems and what we're going to do between now and October, I think.
And I just want to say, every day the national office, we manage by crisis.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. Each day, I'm there for 24 hours. You know, it's very difficult. And I just want to let you know that we need to really get, the CFO, because the problem is that we need to start right now doing some long-range planning. We have nothing in place. And if we don't start doing that, we're probably going to be where we are, and we're not going to be able to move forward.
I got you.
Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
WBAI New York.
Just a quick thing. Ross, in your March report to the board, you raised a number of issues which Jabari has been writing to the Finance Committee about for going on 6 months now. The policy areas and plans for the Finance Committee and the financial operations of Pacifica, the fiduciary decisions and processes that the committee and the board should be engaging in on a periodic and an annual basis, including things like the budget and the audit, standard financial and accounting practices that Pacifica should put in place, even things like dealing with certification and authorization of expenditures, procurement, thresholds, stuff like that, and the structural financial relationships by station, by activity, by revenue source, so on and so forth, and basically how the Finance Committee can begin to focus on issues of fundraising and development on the revenue side, which is where what we keep hearing is that the revenues are not where they should be. All I'm saying is would it make sense if we at the next meeting of the Finance Committee could talk to you about how to begin putting that Finance Committee infrastructure in place, some of those policy areas in place, so that we're not dealing on a case-by-case basis with every financial issue that arises while we're in a crisis mode. Would that help us, and could you do that with us at the next Finance Committee meeting?
Well, if you'd like to contact me, I'd certainly make myself available, but I believe the reason you're asking for that is because you don't have the CFO.
Because what?
It's because you don't have a CFO.
Catch 22.
Well, we've never had it. The Pacific has never had those things in place. So that's true, and it's also understating the problem.
Okay.
Well, I certainly made myself available, yes.
What I heard was that Ross said he would be available.
I have a quick question.
But then we also should pursue the CFO. That's not an either or. Okay.
I have a quick question.
Okay.
Ross, can you estimate for us the cost of hiring a person for that position?
If you're unable to find a volunteer, on a part-time basis, let's say half-time basis, I guess you're looking in a salary range of around 40s you could probably get part-time.
Plus Benny's, we're talking about 60.
Well, if it's part-time, there may not be full benefits.
Speak into the microphone.
The 40 is the salary level, not including any other benefits. Although if it's part-time, there would not be full benefits. So.
Okay.
Okay. It's now five. It's five, and there are several other agenda items, which some of which are going to have to go to tomorrow, and I don't believe we're going to end today at 6, because there's still some very major financial issues that we haven't gotten to yet, like the budget. This fiscal year's budget, which this board, no board, previous board, this board, no board, has ever voted on a budget for this year. We have figures in the board books. We have a projected budget, and we need to take some action on that. That we must do today. We also must discuss what the process is going to be to put together the budget for the next fiscal year, which this would be kind of tight, but the next fiscal year ends.